This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
6-2, the final. Carolina rolling the Buffalo Sabres as we welcome you here to the Sabres postgame show. I'm Brian Colziel along the Sabres Radio Network. Another rough one for Buffalo. This one, no blown lead, I guess, if you want to see a different way for this team to give up a whole bunch of goals. The Sabres never led. It never really was a game. There was a moment at the end of the first, a bad first, where the Sabres scored to cut it to 2-1, and I was thinking, well, maybe you can get the next goal. Murray actually had a clean breakaway to start the second period. If he scores there, it's 2-2. But a few minutes later, then Cole scores. 24 seconds later, Trocheck scores. Later in the period, it's 5-1. And, well, obviously, we know how this plays out. 6-2, the final. And even if there was going to be maybe a little intrigue left, Buffalo went into the third with a power play over on the Trocheck five-minute major call. It was 5-2. Maybe you make it 5-3, and you got a full period to go. But Sabres give up a shorthanded goal. Malcolm Subban tonight did not finish. He left with an injury. Kind of looked like when he went hard up against the post with his right skate that something did not feel right when he came back, as he could not put full weight on it afterwards. Tried to get up, but then was on one knee. Eventually, the trainer came out, and he slowly went to the room. Subban did not impress in terms of his game action, but, you know, terrible luck that he's got to be feeling like, all right, well, at least I have a chance here to maybe be a number one goalie for a while Craig Anderson is out. And the first go-around did not go well. The first shot, not his fault, did not go well, as Teravainen was left uncovered in front. So bad Sabre defense, no chance on that first goal, but welcome to the Buffalo Sabres, Malcolm Subban, right there. So that was a bad moment. But during the game, I wasn't really super impressed. There wasn't any of these, just, you know, there wasn't that moment of like, oh, that's a big save there. He had a breakaway maybe or a partial one that I would have liked him to stop on Niederreiter that made it 5-1. Again, I'm not unaware here that these aren't game-changing plays. Like, the Sabres were going to lose either way, regardless, whether or not Subban makes a save, you know, there. But anyway, player reaction coming up from PNC Arena. We'll take you to the Zoom call when the players come to the podium. Don Granato's postgame comments, Paul Hamilton as well. But let's get the highlights in now, and they're brought to you by Jim's Steakout, celebrating 40 years of mouth-watering hoagies and chicken finger subs. We go 2:16 in. Carolina not wasting any time, as I said. The first shot on Subban. He's got no chance. Aho sets up Teravainen for his fifth of the year.
Sabres able to get it back. And now Aho from his own blue line to center. Niederreiter left side. Spins on the wall away from Eakin. Aho centers in front. Scores. Teuvo Teravainen gets his fifth of the year as he jumps into a hole in the Sabres defense. And it's 1-0.
Teravainen's fifth from Aho and Niederreiter. Just 2:16 in, 1-0 Carolina on their first shot. Olofsson appeared to score a few minutes later, but it was ruled a kicking in motion, which I guess I would agree with. And nevertheless, it stayed 1-0. And then Martin Nečas on a wraparound. Looks like he's stopped by Malcolm Subban on one of those big saves, but then it was reviewed during the commercial break, and they found a replay where it did go over, and it was a correct call. So that made it a 2-0 Carolina lead. In the final seconds, though, the Sabres able to get one before the horn goes. It's Joki Haru from the point shot, and it goes off Cole and into the net, and Buffalo gets their first of the night.
Touches it back. Now Skinner again against his former team. He's fared pretty well. Can he keep it going here tonight? Sabres need him. 34 seconds to go. Back to the line. Shot. Scores! Victor Olofsson in front of the net with the shot from the point. 31.3 seconds to go in the first. Buffalo's on the board.
Yeah, Olofsson in front providing the screen, but it went off of Cole, so Joki Haru gets credit for it. His first of the year, Skinner and Olofsson assisting. 2-1 Carolina, that was the score after one. We go to the second, and here's where Carolina gets the game winner. 3:44 in, Ian Cole right off the faceoff, a big blast.
There's a quick shot right off the draw, and it's 3-1 Carolina as Cole let it rip. So one goes in off of Cole, and he gets it back for his team. 16-16 to go in the second period, 3-1 Carolina.
Now, this was an easy play to describe. Trocheck, a clean faceoff win right back to the point. Cole fires at home, and his first of the year, 3-1 Carolina. That's the game winner. We'll call that the play of the game, brought to you by Seneca Sports Lounge. You can bet on Buffalo with Seneca Resorts and Casinos. 24 seconds later, the Canes are right back at it. It's Trocheck, his fifth of the year, unassisted.
Niederreiter trying to get through. Kent following up, scores! Trocheck follows up the initial rush, and it's now 4-1 Carolina.
Just a mess there from Joki Haru and Bryson. They both fumble with it, misplay it, and then Trocheck puts it home for his fifth of the year. 24 seconds after the Cole goal, Trocheck makes it a 4-1 Carolina lead. Later in the period, Canes add to it. Another Buffalo turnover at the Carolina blue line and a quick transition the other way. Aho sends Niederreiter right in.
Here's Murray at center ice. Four Sabres trying to get a rush going here, but that pass is not going to work. And now a counter by Carolina, and it's in the back of the net. Nino Niederreiter with the fifth goal of the game for the Canes to Buffalo's one. It's 8:18 to go in the second period.
Niederreiter's fifth of the year from Aho. That made it a 5-1 Carolina lead. And then one of the moments from the game that we'll remember, Tage Thompson hit into the boards, but Trocheck gets a five-minute major, a game misconduct there. Jeff Skinner jumping in nicely to help out his teammate, but the good news is that Thompson did return for the third period. So at least as of this moment, it seems as though Thompson did not suffer a severe injury. So that is good news there. Injury report brought to you by Lucy and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' compensation and personal injury attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Before the period comes to an end, though, Buffalo on the power play after that Trocheck penalty, and Gergensen's with a redirect, his fifth of the year.
Carolina all over the puck as soon as the Buffalo forward gets it, or defenseman for that matter. There's a shot, and in front, did Zemgus Gergensen's tip that
yes,
one in?
Yes, sir, he did.
5-2 with 25.6 seconds to go in the period.
So another goal in the final minute. Gergensen's fifth of the year. Bryson Oposo assisting on the power play. 5-2 Carolina is the score. That was where we stood through 40 minutes. Into the third, Buffalo's on the power play, and any thought of a comeback was erased right away. Just 1:09 in, shorthanded, Teravainen in his second of the game.
Victor Olofsson gains the zone. A triangle of defenders taking that away. Carolina, they've yet to score on the penalty kill, and they still have it. Now they have, is going to the front of the net. Teemu Teravainen makes it 6-2.
Teravainen's second of the game, sixth of the season from Aho, just 1:09 in. A shorthanded goal gave Carolina a 6-2 lead. And the only other story from the third worth mentioning there, Subban leaves with an injury, as we mentioned, as he went hard up along the post. Aaron Dell finished up in cleanup duty. He saw four shots and made four saves. But there are your highlights, and that is your final. 6-2, Carolina over Buffalo from Raleigh tonight. All right, final shot totals here while we again expect to get some player reaction coming up on the Zoom call in just a moment. For Carolina, 13 shots in the first, 6 in the second, 10 in the third, total of 29. For Buffalo, 9 in the first, 12 in the second, 13 in the third, total of 34. So the Sabres outshoot the Canes 34-29. Power plays. Buffalo did not take a penalty the whole game, so that is good news there. Buffalo got one crack on that power play, two cracks officially with that five-minute major. They go 1-for-2. So special teams goes to the Sabres, other than the fact that they give up the shorthanded goal. But a bad loss overall. I mean, just bad D, bad, not great goaltending again. And the Canes take advantage. We know they're a talented bunch that can put the puck in the net. Winning goaltender tonight. Well, that's Antti Raanta. He had 34 shots and made 32 saves. Malcolm Subban, the loss, 25 shots. He made 19 saves. Dell, as I said, came in after the injury. He went 4-for-4. Your three stars are all Hurricanes, no surprise. Raanta in goal, star number three with his 32 saves. Sebastian Aho had a great night. He had three assists. He is star number two. And Teuvo Teravainen, two goals, his fifth and sixth of the season, the sixth one shorthanded. He is the number one star of this hockey game tonight. And the attendance at PNC Arena, 18,680. Pretty good crowd in Carolina. They got a good team to watch, too. The crowd is in Carolina, I think, gives you a good atmosphere for sure. I know every time I think about crowds in Carolina, I think about back to those conference final games between the Sabres and the Hurricanes. And there were Sabre fans that made the trip and went there. But you had the celebrations after games, and you know the Hurricanes crowd is good when they're into it for sure. All right, we are ready to go to the Zoom call in Raleigh and see if we know who's coming up here first. Tough to tell. It's going to be Victor Olofsson up first. Okay, let's go live to Raleigh here and hear from Olofsson on the post game.
Overall, I don't know what the scoring chances was, but it feels like we the scoring chances they had were really good ones, like breakaways, and we had three or four shots just right in front of our net. Just giving up too many grade A scoring chances, and they capitalized on it. Just makes it hard for us.
Really, what after you know Thursday after today? I mean, what does it come down to in terms of fixing you know those just the details?
We all just gotta look ourselves in the mirror. I think everyone in that locker room can do better. I know I can do a lot better. I'm not happy with my game right now. Just gotta watch film and see what we all can do better just to help the team. That's all we can do in this situation.
The power play the last couple of games, you guys got a lot of really good movement. What have you seen there the last few?
Last game, I think the power play was really good. We just couldn't puck in the net. We had some really good plays and many good scoring chances. Today, I think it was, except it's goal there, I think it was not good enough. We had a great chance of coming back into the game there in the start of the third. And I made a bad play there on the power play, which led to a breakaway, and they sort of
older. How difficult was it from there? Because I mean, you guys still kept pressing, but
yeah, I mean, if we're going to take something positive, we never stop trying. I think that's been kind of our identity all year, and we don't give up. But we just gotta probably play smarter earlier in the game, so we can't let in 4, 5, 6 goals every game. It's gonna be tough to win that. Thanks.
All right, there is Victor Olofsson following the 6-2 Carolina victory. Brian Colesiel back with you here on the post game. We shall see if we get more player reaction here coming up from PNC Arena. But the Sabres in the standings, I mean, it is not looking good after another regulation loss tonight. Tonight, I guess I would say more so than some of these other games, at least on the scoreboard at the end, you think, well, the number of goals that they scored wasn't enough to win. You're not going to win on the road scoring two, but the Sabres are now 8-13-3 and still remain with 19 points. They only have won two of their last 10. They're 2-7-1 in their last 10. They remain in sixth place. Montreal picked up a point in their game today, so the Canadiens are now within four of Buffalo, but they've played two more games. The Sabres, I think, are going to be sitting in sixth for a while. The Bruins are six ahead. Then they have three games in hand on the Sabres, so I don't see Buffalo catching Boston anytime soon. The Red Wings are playing well. Detroit's 9-2-2 at home. They're getting it done in their own building. They have 29 points, so That was a team I thought the Sabres would be ahead of in the standings this year, possibly. But right now, the Wings are playing much better. And Montreal, I don't think, is any good. They are four back of the Sabres with two games in hand, and Ottawa's got only 13. So I think you're going to see the Sabres sitting in sixth for at least, I would say, to the close of 2021, unless the Canadiens all of a sudden start winning games in bunches. But the Sabres, obviously, here are digging themselves into the hole that we probably thought they were going to be in overall this year. They're just doing it a little differently than I had expected. For the most part, tonight's maybe not the best example. I thought that they would be scoring, that they would have real issues scoring. But they've gotten some nice offensive contributions from guys like Tage Thompson. They've gotten more goals from Jeff Skinner than I would have expected him to have so far by now. Kyle Laposo, Zemgus Girgensons, the same. So they're scoring it a little more than what I had thought. But, I mean, to predict that Anderson would have been out this long and that he would have obviously been there would have been a huge drop-off to what has been left there. Tokarski's had some nice games in there. He has also had some clunkers. So Aaron Dell has not given them anything. Malcolm Subban tonight in his first outing, I guess I'd call it unimpressive, but in a tough spot for sure, playing in his first game. But where the Sabres sit in the standings at the moment, the final wildcard team, if you're just curious, right now would be Pittsburgh with 25 points, and the Sabres are six back. All right, we're going to go back on the Zoom call here, and let's see who is up next. It is Zemgus Girgensons. He is one of the Buffalo goal scorers. He's now live on the post game.
Maybe some of the plays that lead to the other team getting offensive transition.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just the defense. I think it's in general. We all know we're just going to be better. You know, I think it's the fundamental work ethic. We work hard in practice, and then now maybe kind of we will sometimes dip a little bit for the game. But bottom line is, we know we got to be better.
With the third period, I mean, what does it say about the group that's two games in a row where you guys didn't quit? You know, you guys kept pushing at least.
No, yeah, there's no quit in the room. We talked in the locker room, you know, times like this, you know, your mind can start blaming other teammates or something for the not having success, but that's, we're not going there. We're sticking with it. We believe in each other. The guys believe in each other, and I think that's big. So team's going to have highs and lows. This road trip was definitely a low, blowing a lead in Florida and then today. But times like this, it's an opportunity for change, you know, to step up.
With the way they play defensively, I mean, their defensemen are really disciplined with their gaps. How difficult was it to just generate, you know, especially in the first and second period when it came to generating on the rush and getting things moving there?
No, it was definitely a tough game, but I think at the end of the day, it comes down to us, you know, we could have played a little more simple, worked harder, you name it. But yeah, they're a good team, so anytime you let it go a little bit against the team like that,
Sabre forward Zemgus Girgensons. He and Henry Okihariu, the two Buffalo goal scorers. Carolina wins at 6-2. Up next for Buffalo, they're home for three in a row next week. Anaheim Tuesday, the Rangers on Friday, the Capitals on Saturday, and of course we'll have all those games right here on the Sabres Radio Network. Okay, for all of our local affiliates, we're going to say goodnight to you. If you want to keep listening to the post game, go to WGR550.com. For all of you on our flagship in Buffalo on WGR, more postgame coming up. Don Granato's postgame comments. Paul Hamilton's take. Final score from Raleigh. Carolina 6, Buffalo 2. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Back on the post game, 6-2 Carolina over Buffalo. Don Granato has just made his way to the podium. And Raleigh, let's take you there live.
They took advantage of just about every little one. You saw the shots were 15-ish, something like that. And we're down 5-1. So testament to their ability to jump on any little mistake and capitalize on it. We jumped on a lot of their mistakes and didn't capitalize. And otherwise the game would have not got out of hand like that. I think it would have been, there were points in there where there were scoring chances to get traded. We didn't convert. And obviously, we would love to limit some of the chances we gave up. I thought we gave up too many good chances. We talk a lot about contested chances. Time we gave up a lot of contested chances than normal for us, even though the shot volume was much lower. I thought we gave up more contested opportunities for them.
What can this group take from this trip? It's two really tough losses, and obviously not happy about giving up 20 goals in the last three games.
Yeah, I mean, you're never happy about any of that stuff. It's the happy in that doesn't mix. So, this is a competitive business, and you cannot have your tail between the legs. You gotta go. I think our guys, the nice thing, silver lining in there, the vibe and feel is our guys take responsibility for the mistakes. They also see right away when a mistake happens how they how they're going to correct it, what they didn't want. They're identifying with that, which is huge. It's not as if they're not making a mistake and losing confidence. They're actually making a mistake instead of gaining experience. We just it's a process to put all that together, but obviously don't like this, but again, lots of good things to see in there, and certainly lots of things to clean up.
That shorthanded goal, did that seem to take air out of it a little bit? Because you guys go into the second intermission after Zemgus gets the goal in the power play, and then obviously
I can't remember which goal you're talking
about. The turnover at the blue line, and then they go down.
It was when Victor passed it back into all the feet there. That was a tough play. We probably should have won. We played the game in front of them.
Yeah.
And it was an easy transition for them. It was in Dahl's feet. Tough one to handle. And we probably should have went behind them. Forced them. We had a lot of success when we forced them to go back for pucks. And for pucks where we could win races and had a better chance of winning battles. And then we played in front of them and they could transition. They did there. I think the first one was a bit of a backbreaker. This is a noisy building. The first one was too easy. And that, again, you're on the road and you give up an easy one to start. You aren't getting that back from the adrenaline of the building. It's home now. So that impacted opening the game up a little more maybe than it should.
It's also unfortunate to put your goalie in that situation. I mean, Malcolm shows up.
We gave up too many uncontested chances today, more than typical for us. And when we give up chances, we've done a nice job of at least having a contested stick on the puck and shooting through sticks. Shots pushed to the outside with no second chance. And tonight was too many real great A's. And it's a good hockey team over there, obviously. We were able to limit shots more, but we gave up more quality than we had been. So.
This group, you can go to the young guys or even some of the more experienced players. There's a lot of, you mentioned a lot of good things, but there's also a lot of mistakes when it comes to just the small details. So as a coach, how do you approach that, reconciling with, while also emphasizing the good things, but you said it earlier, you don't want to.
The silver lining, again, if there's another one in this, is it's much easier for me to push guys with the band of guys now. I believe our guys have more confidence than they actually have had the results. That's a good thing. That means I can drive them harder. It's feel an identity. There's some ways that they can be successful with me or identify with the mistake they made. So I think, over the next little bit here is a big growing period for us. And I think it's a see us better, quicker here. Like I said, we've got some really good components. It's the consistency of the 60 minutes. It's and a lot of that. I think our guys are ready for continual challenge here. They're not losing confidence. They're addressing it more competitive. They're raising the level of competitiveness, which is good. Thank you, Tom.
Okay, there's Sabres head coach Don Granato following a 6-2 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. The team will travel back home. They've got three home games next week on Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday. Those games against the Ducks on Tuesday. That's a 7:30 start. Note, by the way, if you do have tickets to that game, 7:30 start. I believe that's also an ESPN Plus only broadcast. No MSG for that. Of course, Dan and Rob will have it for you here on WGR and along the Sabres radio network. And then the Rangers Saturday and the Capitals. I'm sorry, the Rangers Friday and then the Capitals on Saturday. So three games next week, all at KeyBank Center. Paul Hamilton's take coming up, but let's check the scores from around the NHL tonight as we go around the NHL. Just going final at Madison Square Garden, the Rangers get their 16th win of the season as they beat the Blackhawks by a score of 3-2. Panarin, the game winner, with about 5 to go in the third period. Panthers in a shootout beat the Blues by a score of 4-3. Sam Reinhart had his 7th of the season in that game. Predators in overtime win by a 4-3 score with the Canadiens. Philip Forsberg's 11th of the year. He gets the winner in OT. The Wild in a shootout beat the Maple Leafs. This game was back and forth. Minnesota was up 3-0. Then the Leafs scored 3 in a row to tie it at 3. But then, obviously, in a shootout it goes, where Minnesota improves their impressive record to 17-6-1. In overtime, the Lightning beat the Bruins by a score of 3-2. Steven Stamkos 12th, a minute 31 into the OT, getting it done. In overtime, the Senators beat the Avalanche by a score of 6-5. Kachuk's 7th of the year, the game winner for Ottawa. Another game going to overtime in Detroit. Red Wings over the Islanders by a score of 5-3 there. Capitals in regulation beat the Blue Jackets by a score of 3-1. And there is one game going on right now, just in the final minute of the first. Pittsburgh is at Vancouver, and there is no score in that game. All right, let's get you to college football now. Championship Saturday, obviously, all eyes on who's going to make the four-team playoff. There's two games going on right now in Indy at the Big Ten Championship game. Number 2, Michigan, in the third quarter, is leading number 13, Iowa, by a score of 21-3. Presumption would be if Michigan wins, they'll be in the playoff. The ACC title game featuring Pittsburgh and Wake Forest, and the Panthers have a 24-21 lead. Rest of these are all finals. The SEC title game between number 3, Alabama, and number 1, Georgia, goes to the Crimson Tide as Bama wins 41-24. The thought is that both of those teams will be in the top 4. Along with Michigan, if they win, and likely Cincinnati. They're the AAC champs, ranked 4th in the country. They beat Houston today in the AAC title game 35-20. Other finals. In the Big 12 title game, it was number 9 Baylor beating number 5 Oklahoma State 21-16. Final play of the game, the Cowboys on 4th and goal try to run it in, and their running back is tackled at the 1-yard line. In the Mountain West title game, Utah State upsets number 19 San Diego State 46-13. And in the Sun Belt, it was number 24, Louisiana, beating Appalachian State by a score of 24-16. So there are your college football scores. One Big Four college basketball score from down in the Riley Center in Olean. Bonaventure on a 3 with 1 second to go, defeating UB by a score of 68-65. As the Bonnies gave up a big lead, UB got a late 3 and tied it at 65, and then Bonaventure on their final possession got the 3 to win, and the crowd stormed the court. So everybody happy down in Olean tonight for the Bonnies as they beat the Bulls by 3. Our score, Carolina 6, Buffalo 2. And we bring in Paul Hamilton now for his final thoughts here as we wrap up postgame for just a couple of minutes with Paul. Well, Paul, I guess we'll start with a positive. Tage Thompson returned in the third. I didn't think he would. That was a nasty hit he took, so I guess that's good news, at least for something here.
Yeah, that was great news to see him there because, you know, it certainly looked like it could be a bad head injury when he went into the wall, but they checked him out, and he was able to start the third period, so that's a good thing for the Sabres. You know, as we know and we have found out this season, they aren't very deep, so injuries do hurt them, and that's one of their better players this season, and not an injury they could afford to have. Plus, you don't want to see Tate Thompson get a head injury.
Absolutely. All right, Paul, well, there's no really real reason here to beat into the ground here of like just the mistakes that keep costing them. But that seemed to be the message from the players and from Don Granato, is that, look, tonight wasn't maybe totally one-sided in terms of the opportunities, but when the Sabres made a mistake, it was likely in the net. When Carolina made a mistake, the Sabres couldn't convert, and that's kind of seemed to be the message from the players and Don Granato.
Well, you know, Gergensen said on his interview that, you know, they didn't quit, but yet there were times that, you know, that they could have, I'm trying to think of the word that he used, you know, more hustle or work harder. Work harder is what he said. And that's, you know, that's not good. I mean, really, the things that really bother me about this team right now is they seem to be getting worse. You want to get better. And they, under Don Granato, since he took over last year, that's what we seem to be seeing until, you know, the last 10 or 15 games. And now they just seem to be getting worse. And it would help if you could get a key save out of your goaltenders. I understand that. But one problem that had gone away was the awareness problem. It's something I've talked about for years. But, boy, it is really back big time now, where guys just have no awareness of what's going on around them and the pucks are in the net. The other thing that is absolutely inexcusable and absolutely needs to be addressed is players are giving up on plays. Against the Kraken, four players were caught gliding back, and Seattle scored easily. If you recall the first empty net goal against Florida, Rasmus Dahlin lost the puck and stopped skating around the red line. Just completely stopped and just let, I think it was Huberto, walk in. This game, Sebastian Aho, you know, there was a play where Olsson tries to get it back to Dahlin. The puck's bouncing around. Dahlin can't handle the pass. Aho's gone on a shorthanded breakaway. All right. Malcolm Subban makes the save. Casey Mittelstadt showed zero hustle getting back. None. And Tara Vinen has an easy shorthanded goal on the rebound, coming in all by himself. Nobody's coming back. Why do you stop skating? Why did you give up on the play? That has to be addressed, and it has to be addressed fast. And I know he talks about self-correcting, and they know when they make mistakes and everything, but he's got to change some tactics here. This is not working right now, and you know it just can't keep going on the same way. I mean, they're not getting better; they're getting worse on a nightly basis. One game is worse than the next, and they just keep. And if you could get some good goaltending, that could help you out of some of these spots. But you know, it seems like everybody's trying so hard to be digging positives out of all these losses, and I'm having trouble digging them out right now.
Can you give an analysis of Malcolm Subban, Paul? I know he wasn't put in the best of spots here, but what did you think from what you saw from him through the 2.5 periods that he played?
It wasn't great. I mean, he was all right. He made some decent saves at times, but, you know, there are times also I'd like to see him help out and make a save. I think it might have been the knee writer goal, you know, that he gets in there. And Marty was talking about how he didn't even line up correctly on the shot by Cole off the faceoff. You know, he needs to have his skate, the left skate, further over in the crease. So when he moves over, he's more lined up with Cole, and he wasn't. And it winds up in the net, so I don't know. Let me put it this way. I did not see an improvement in goal with him in net. But this is his first time in. We'll see how bad the injury is. Who's in net on Tuesday? We don't know if Tokarski will be out of, you know, protocol, or if Subban will be injured and can or can't go. Tuesday against the Ducks right now would be totally up in the air.
All right, Paul, I'm going to ask you to put on your marketing cap here. I know there isn't much positive. I agree. Like, I'm having trouble trying to, like, ask you questions that's not just going to be you saying the same answer and over again, because this is what we seem to be seeing, the same thing over and over again.
Well,
Sabres have three home games this week. Yeah. So the Sabres have three home games this week. So make a case, like what should we be watching for here in these next three games that isn't going to make people miserable? Like, what are you seeing? Anything? Is there a player or two to watch? Like, I mean, there's three home games coming up next week. Obviously the team is hoping to have people show up to these games. Like, is there some reason that you would say, yeah, you should come down and watch them for this reason? Because, you know, that was part of the thing I was thinking after two, was like, geez, one of the few players that I really do enjoy watching this season, like, was Tage Thompson. I'm thinking, God, if he's going to be out long term, like, man, the reasons to watch this team are dwindling. I don't know. Is there something at least to think about as we go into next week here with three home games coming up?
I could give you a reason if Craig Anderson were coming back, but he's not, at least this next week. You know, Tokarski, if he can play, there's times he steals you the game. There's times where he's not very good. I mean, you know, you just don't know, you know, what you can get out of that. But if they have any thought of winning any of those three games, they got to get some goaltending. I mean, you've got to make a save. You know, mistakes are made on the ice, and there are times where you've got to bail your teammates out a little bit, and they don't get a save anywhere now these days. I mean, and you know, sometimes you just need a big save to keep you in a hockey game, but that's not the only problem. They have to become aware. I think they have to break up the pair of Joki Haru and Bryson. That has been a disaster. That is not working at all. Both those players are better players than they're showing. Bryson was having a pretty good season until he was out there with Joki Haru, and they just don't have a chemistry at all, and it's been a huge problem for them. You know, we don't know how long Hague is out for. You know, he has some sort of injury that, you know, took him out of the lineup here. But they're going to have to change some things around here. This team just keeps getting worse. And, you know, that's one thing that Don Granato prides himself in. You know, you need to get better every day. You know, practice needs to be better today than it was yesterday. And right now he just has a team that is not getting better in any way, shape, or form.
Paul, thank you for your work tonight on pregame, intermissions, and post. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the Bills game Monday, and I'll see you Tuesday night at the arena for the Ducks.
I will be there.
Okay, great. Thank you. Paul Hamilton, everybody. 6-2 Carolina. A rough road trip for Buffalo. They give up 13 goals on this trip. 7 to Florida, 6 to Carolina. No points in the standings. Next week, as we said, three home games, and it'll start on Tuesday, and that's when we'll speak with you next as we put a wrap here on our Sabres postgame show tonight. I want to thank TJ Luckman, our network producer. Thank you, TJ, for your great job tonight. Paul Hamilton, our reporter. Kyle Powell on our social media and game story at WGR550.com. And for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. My name is Brian Colziel. I thank you for listening. Final again, Carolina 6, Buffalo 2. Talk to you Tuesday night with the Sabres and the Ducks from KeyBank Center, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.